السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وبه نستعين على أمور الدنيا والدين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين، وصلى اللهم وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. I start by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending blessings and salutations upon our beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah ta'ala, as promised, the program that the masjid started, and this program is a comprehensive one whereby we are not only covering one aspect of the deen, but some of the core and most important ones. On Mondays, there is an aqidah class. On Wednesdays, there is a fiqh class. And we will conclude the work week, if you will, with the beloved seerah, the beloved story of our beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And before I start, I just want to tell our sisters and our brothers that there is a link for those of you that are on the there's a Telegram group where a lot of information and updates are mentioned. If you go to bina.co.uk, you'll find a link to a Telegram group, and in there is a link for questions that will be answered by the instructors, including myself tonight, inshallah ta'ala. Once you send your questions in, we'll do that at the end. Tayyib. First, how fortunate are we that we are starting a seerah class and we are in the month that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, Rabi'ul Awwal. And that is sadfa, it just happened by accident. But in the end, it's worth mentioning that it is this month that we are in, that the one we love more than anyone else, the one human being whom we love more than anyone else, who we worship Allah through loving him and following him, was born in this month. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also passed away in this month. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived in Medina, that momentous occasion where they leave the oppression and the shirk in Mecca and arrive in Medina, welcomed by the wonderful companions, the Ansar, was in this month as well. So alhamdulillah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed us to be here speaking about the seerah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and starting it in this month. Tayyib. Inshallah ta'ala, when it comes to the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is one of those stories and it is one of those lessons that everyone wants to listen to. When you hear about the Prophet, your heart just feels different. And that's because of our iman. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is beloved by Allah. And there is a narration where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where the Prophet said, when Allah loves someone, Allah puts that love within mankind and within the angels. And this person will be beloved by the angels and beloved by mankind. Who is that more befitting of than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The reason we read his seerah, the reason we love to talk about him, is because there's literally no one we would want to talk about more than him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says in the Quran, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. And we made high your mention. O Muhammad, we made high your mention. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. When the adhan is called and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name is raised, the Prophet Muhammad's name is mentioned right next to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is mentioned whenever we mention Allah, we mention him in our salah. We mention him during our day so many times, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, I would love to ask a question. If your name is Muhammad, raise your hand. Hi, come on, I want to see the names. If you have a family member whose name is Muhammad, keep your hands up. I want the Muhammads to keep their hands up. If you have a family member whose name is Muhammad, raise your hand. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Wa rafa'na laka dhikrak. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his story is different, my brothers and sisters. And I want to share with you a few hadith to get you into the right mindset. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to love Him and made it part of our iman. Where the Prophet ﷺ said, one of you has not truly believed, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده ووالده والناس أجمعين. Until I become more beloved to him, the Prophet saying, you have not truly believed until the Prophet becomes more beloved to you than who? Than your own children, than your own mother and father, than all of mankind. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes first. So of course, we would want to learn his seerah and story. One day, a Bedouin man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Sahaba, they used to love when a Bedouin man comes because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would entertain their questions more and he would teach them more. Whereas with his Sahaba that lived with him, he did not like for them to ask him many questions. Do you know why? Because from questions would come legislation. When they ask, Ya Rasulullah, is this haram? Is this halal? Should you do this? Then legislation will come as a result of that. And legislation means responsibility. And responsibility means potentially incurring sin if we don't do it. So he would say to them, don't ask me many questions. Don't ask me many questions. Does that make sense? It was rifq. It was gentleness. But when the Bedouins come, he would love to give them the answers because they don't spend as much time with the Prophet ﷺ as his close companions did. But this hadith you all know. This Bedouin man, he asked the Prophet a question, Ya Rasulullah, mata sa'a? When is the hour? And the Prophet replies, Mada a'adata laha? What have you prepared for it? What have you prepared for it? It's not about when it is, but rather what have you prepared for it? And this man was so honest. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I did not prepare for it. Much salah, much fasting, much worship. Isn't that a problem? That's a problem. We should prepare with much salah and much zakat and much worship. Should we not, my brothers? But then he said, وَلَكِنُّ أُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. But I love Allah and His Messenger. I love Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet said something, a statement that is so beautiful. It's when we hear it, it should make our heart feel calm and happy. He said, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahab. The person will be with whom he loves on the Day of Judgment. May we all be with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say ameen. The narrator of that hadith is Anas ibn Malik, who was in that gathering, listening to that story and seeing that exchange. And he said something very powerful. He said, Wallahi, that statement of the Prophet when he said, you will be with whom you love, that statement was more beloved and more precious to us than anything else. And then he said, وَأُشْهِدُ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهِ I love Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I love Abu Bakr and I love Umar. Allahu Akbar. So again, that love is so important. Now, the question is, we all understand that we have to love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but how do we do that? How can you love someone you do not know? How can you love someone you do not know? And my brothers and sisters, wallahi, what we know about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so amazing. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no human being that has ever lived whose life is more detailed than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know everything about him. Everything about him. We know the type of food he ate and liked and the type of food he did not like. We know that he never said when food was brought to him something bad about that food. We know how many white hairs he had on his head. We know how he smiled. We know how he walked. We know what he wore. The specific clothing that he wore, we know. We know, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he was with his wives, how he was with his children. We know his injuries. I can literally highlight to you the injuries and the scars of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who in human history do we know so much details? The type of plates that he used, how he combed his hair, which foot he would love to put his shoe in before he got out of the house. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What chapters of the Quran he would recite in every salah. That's how much we know about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know the moments that made him happy and he laughed. The moments that they made him sad and he cried. We know how he worshipped. We know how much adhkar he made. We know every trip that he made and where he went and who went with him. We know what happened, every incident in his life recorded and talked about. And I'll tell you something amazing. No one in history, my brothers and sisters, has it been recorded the moments of silence. Abu Huraira reports, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was leading salah. And after he finished his qira'ah, sakata saktatan, he got quiet. The Prophet was silent for a bit. Who in history are the moments of silence recorded? Who in history are the moments of silence recorded? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa rafa'ana laka dhikrak, and high, we raise your mention. We know the Prophet's childhood, we know his jobs. So, my brothers and sisters, it is not hard to learn about him. It is extremely important because it will increase the love you have for him. And the way Rasulullah's story is laid out, it is as if you are living with him. Inshallah ta'ala, as we go through his journey, the next few weeks, we will be talking about before he even became a prophet, early Mecca, his marriage to Khadija, his early life. And I'll tell you something interesting about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah made him in such a way, every single person, no matter where you are in life, there is a way you can connect to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you're in charge of people, the Prophet was in charge of his sahaba and the ummah. He was a leader. If you're involved in politics, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a statesman. If you're married, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a husband. If you're a parent, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a father. He was a friend. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a spiritual leader. He used to lead the salah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a general that commanded armies. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a trader at one point in his life in business. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was a shepherd. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so many different people and had so many different roles that is very easy to connect with him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is why he is so special. And I want you to think about this for a second, my brothers and sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looked at the hearts of all of his creation, all of mankind, and picked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as Khatamul Anbiya wal Mursaleen, the one who concludes the message that came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the perfect conclusion, Khitamuhu Misk. He is the last of the prophets, yet the first. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is so beloved to Allah, so beloved to Allah, that the day of judgment will not commence. As we are all standing in front of Allah yawm al-qiyamah, waiting for judgment to start, it will not commence until Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, walks up, makes sujood, praises Allah, and Allah says, oh Muhammad, stand up. Ask and you will be given. Intercede and your intercession will be accepted. That's when the judgment will start. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so beloved by Allah that Jannah will not be opened up. The gates of Jannah will not open until he is standing in front of it. Look at how important Rasulullah is. Now I want to show you from a different angle. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so important, so special, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while he was still alive, ascended him to the highest place. A place even Angel Jibreel could not go until he communed and spoke and conversed with his Lord, Allah Almighty. And then he came back. And yet, when he was home, he would mend his shoes, he would milk his goat, and he would do the menial jobs in the home. And when he would leave, any person from the street could grab his hand and ask him questions and he would allow it. A Bedouin man would grab him and speak to him harshly and he would smile. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I'm trying to get all of us in the mindset of how great the person whose life we will be talking about is. How great the person whose life we're talking about is. He bled for us. He bled for this ummah. In the battle of Uhud, the worst day of his life, one day Aisha radiallahu anha asked him, Ya Rasulullah, was the day of Uhud the worst day of life? Afwan, there's one day that was even worse. We'll cover it inshallah ta'ala when he went to Ta'if. But even Uhud, as he's bleeding, trying to save this ummah, trying to connect all of us to Allah. That's all he wanted. That's all he wanted. He would stay up at night making dua for us. The Prophet loves us so much. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, he'll be saying, Ya Rab Ummati, Ummati, Ya Rab Ummati, Ummati, O Allah, my Ummah, my Ummah, my Ummah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be at his hawd, hoping that every one of us is there. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called us here, his brothers, when he told his companions, I wish I could meet my brothers, and they asked him, are we not your brothers? And he said, no, you are my ashab, my companions. My brothers are those that have not met me, heard of my message, and believed in me. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mission was to connect us to Allah. That's all he wanted. An ummah that worships Allah. Look at his beginning, da'wah, where he receives a revelation and he goes out to the people in secret. He speaks to Abu Bakr, calls him to Islam. He speaks to his family member, calling them to Islam. I want you to imagine 4, 5, 6 people are Muslim. And then he goes through so many trials. So many trials. And I want you to look at his final moments. His final moments as he removes the curtain from his home and he sees his Sahaba praying for Allah and he smiles. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The seerah, my brothers and sisters, is one of the greatest sources to increase your iman, to give you that energy. The seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is key in forming our identity. Inshallah ta'ala. This was a bit of a muqaddimah to really get us into the mindset to appreciate the greatness of who we are talking about. Allah calls him Jalla Jalaluhu. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. O Muhammad, we have not sent you except as a mercy to mankind. A mercy. That's who he was. And they get surprised how upset we get when they dare to insult him. They don't understand. They don't understand that we love Muhammad more than any human being. More than our parents, more than our children. The Prophet, the Sahaba used to say, فِدَاكَ أَبِي وَأُمِّي. I would ransom my own mother and father for you, Ya Rasulullah. Everything good about us. Everything good about us. The salam that we give to each other. The visiting of the neighbors. The salah that we pray. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have Rasulullah to thank for. This is why, Shaykh Tarif, some people say, some people like to go for Umrah, and they say, can I do an Umrah on behalf of the Prophet? And this is coming from a really good place, isn't it? They're coming from a place of love. But then, people don't understand that أَدَّالُ عَلَى خَيْرِكَ فَاعِلِهِ. The fact you're doing Umrah, that teaching came from who? From the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مَا تَحْتَاجِ. You did do Umrah for him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he has the reward for all the khair that he showed us and taught us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has to have a huge place in your heart, my brothers and sisters. Inshallah ta'ala, maybe be among those that truly love him and that are resurrected with him. May we be among those that are with him in Jannah. May we be among those that follow his path. Loving him is not enough. Loving him only is not enough. That love has to manifest itself in what we call ittiba'. Ittiba' means to follow him, to emulate him, to want to be like him. That there's an aspect of you that's thinking, my salah, is it like the Prophet? Can I improve it? My salah needs to be more like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My character, is it like the Prophet? I need to improve my character so they can be more like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That whatever character flaws that we have and whatever shortcomings we have in our ibadah, that we try to be more like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, صلوا كما رأيتموني أصلي. Pray like you have seen me pray. خذوا عني مناسككم. Take the acts of hajj and the rituals from me. The Sahaba were eager to worship and act and behave like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's key. Not only do we want to love him, but we want, and as we go through the seerah, you will see how the Prophet was. And every single Friday night that we leave here, I want you to leave here, inshallah ta'ala, with a plan, another way I can be more like my Prophet. Another way I can act more like my Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If there's no barakah from this class, then kathratu salati alayhi, that we are going to send salawat upon him often, then let's do that, my brothers. Send a lot of salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's so much khair and barakah just in that. So that, inshallah ta'ala, covers a bit of a muqaddimah of the importance of seerah and why we do seerah and who it is that we are really talking about. that he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the one Allah told us to follow. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Indeed, within the Messenger of Allah lies a great example. Allah wants us to follow him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that's what we should do in every aspect of our life. طيب. So now, let's, inshallah ta'ala, discuss more about what it means to study seerah and how seerah is studied. So the first question we have to ask ourselves is, what are the greatest and most important sources to study seerah? Right? And this is my first question to all of you. Where do we get our sources from the seerah from? So raise your hand if you have an answer. What is a good source to learn the seerah? Or the most important source, I should say. Na'am, akhi, tafaddal. The Qur'an, Allahu Akbar. What's your name, akhi? Ibrahim, jazakallah khair, Ibrahim, the Qur'an. The first place we learn the seerah from is the Qur'an. Now, Ibrahim, if you don't mind me putting you in the hot seat, which surah in the Qur'an is seerah? Muhammad? The answer is the whole Qur'an. Seerah is all over the Qur'an. Let's start with the smallest surahs, and I'll show you how. Surah An-Nas and Surah Al-Falaq. Surah An-Nas and Surah Al-Falaq had a sabab al-nuzul, a reason of revelation that's connected to the seerah. Who can tell me what that was? An incident, a major incident in the Prophet's life. Yes, akhi. When the sihr was placed upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's a whole story in the seerah that is connected to what? To these two surahs. Let's move on. Surah Al-Masad. Tabbat yada abi lahabin wa tab. Is connected to a major incident in the seerah. Who can tell me? About who? About the Prophet's uncle Abu Lahab and the harm he would do to his nephew and our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's move to the next surah, Surah An-Nasr. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. Which major incident is that connected to? Who can tell me? The conquest of Makkah. Jazakallahu khair. The conquest of Makkah and everything subsequently that came after. Go to the next surah, Surah Al-Kafirun. Which major incident is that connected to? When Quraysh tried to compromise with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will worship. Why don't you worship 1 year our idols, and 1 year we'll worship Allah? And the Prophet had to make a stance. You see, now we're just going to the smaller chapters of the surah, and we're finding incidents of the seerah. So the whole Quran, Surah Al-Anfal, is all about the battle of Badr, Al-Imran as well. Portions of it are about the battle of Uhud. Surah Al-Ahzab is about the battle of Khandaq. Surah Al-Mujadala, incident in the seerah where a woman came to complain to the Prophet ﷺ about her husband. Allah revealed Quran. The whole Quran is littered with moments of the seerah that we can benefit from and learn from. So the first source of learning the seerah is where? Is the Quran. And especially if you take those chapters of the Quran and you go back to the tafsir. So now we go into the major tafsir, At-Tabari or Ibn Kathir or Qurtubi, any other of those tafsir, they will expand upon that incident that mentioned in the Quran. So the first source that we go to learn the seerah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is what? Is the Quran. Now, this should be easy now. Then what will be the second source? The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So before we even go to seerah books that are compiled A to Z, the story of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have to think, when it comes to seerah, yes, Bukhari and Muslim and Tirmidhi, those books of hadith, they, in them is a lot of seerah. Because the seerah is highlighting the incidents and events that happened during the Prophet's life. And you will find them in these books. Does that make sense, everyone? So the second source that we utilize is the ahadith. And these two, the Quran and the hadith, that's where you will find the most authentic. Especially the sources of ahadith that are, of course, verified and authenticated by the scholars of hadith. طيب, the Quran and the hadith. After that, my brothers and sisters, the sources whereby we learn the seerah from are books that have been written for the purpose of writing down the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right. So, the Quran is not only seerah. In it are ayats related to tawheed and belief. In it are ayats related to rulings, halal and haram. In it are ayats related to the stories of the prophets that came before. And also included in that is things related to the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Similarly with the ahadith. But then later on, what happened was the scholars, they started to compile books written purposefully to highlight the prophet's story A to Z. Right. And those books, they go back thousands of years. We have many books that we read now today, inshallah ta'ala. But one of the earliest compilations of such is the seerah of Musa ibn Uqba, a tabi'u tabi'i, if you will, the student of a great tabi'i called Zuhri. And he compiled, this is the earliest and the most authentic that we have. And this was the year, he died in the year 141, I believe. And he compiled. What's interesting is that this book, this particular book, the earliest compilation of the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he compiled it in major instance of the Prophet's life. And it's all authentic. In fact, Imam Malik ibn Anas, the great Imam Malik ibn Anas, he said that he would recommend that book as to be the best and the most authentic book that compiled Seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They used to call them back then Al-Maghazi. That book, interesting fact, for the longest time was not available in the Muslim libraries. It was lost in history. And that happens sometimes. And that manuscript of that book was found a few years ago. That manuscript was found a few years ago after it was lost for many, many years. And then it was printed. And it was quite really a big deal for that book. And subhanAllah, what I found fascinating is I think yesterday I just got a Twitter notification that it's been translated. I'm sure there were other translations at work, but a particular translation, and I was looking at the PDF of that. Those earlier books, what stand out is the chains of narration. So they're all chains of narration because they're so close to the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is literally, his teacher told me that the companion said that the Prophet said, or that this event happened. So the chain of narration is there. Then after that, you have the seerah of Ibn Ishaq. Ibn Ishaq lived around the same time as Musa, where he was from the tabi'u tabi'in. And he also compiled a seerah book, but that seerah book did not last throughout history. Then later on, it was written, it was found as a part of a book called the seerah of Ibn Hisham. And Ibn Hisham's seerah is the main source that people utilize when they are going to find references for the seerah of Ibn Hisham, to two or three volumes in the Arabic language. Now, this for you, for those of you that are here just to learn the story of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is not that important. But for those of you that are maybe a bit more interested to know, the Seerah Ibn Hisham is really the key point to go back. And a lot of the Seerah books that are written after, they reference the Seerah of Ibn Hisham. Now, another thing that you have to understand is when it comes to Seerah, the level of scrutiny that we put into the stories and the chain of narration is not the same. And let me teach you something here. This is really, really important. If we find a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this or did that, that narration can either be weak or authentic, correct? Authentic or inauthentic. Sahih or what? Da'if, sahih or da'if, right? Now, a lot of people think that it is black and white. Da'if, put it in the bin. That's not necessarily how hadith authentication works, right? And there are levels of scrutiny. Generally speaking, if I really simplify it for you, the pass rate for us to attribute a statement to the Prophet or an incident to the Prophet is very high. Higher than normal history. Because in normal history, they don't check the who said this and are we sure that they said. The level of scrutiny is not there. In other words, pick any major incident in history. Recent history, early history, the Tatar invasion and Genghis Khan. You guys are all familiar with that? Some of you are? Tayyib. There are certain events that are transmitted to us, right? That happened and they conquered this and they... Where's the chain of narration for that? Columbus and America, where's the chain of narration for that? Is it Sahih or is it Da'if? What do you guys think? Isn't that a fair question to ask? Most of history, Alexander the Great and all of the stuff that he done. Right? There is no chain of narration usually, right? And people are lax. It's history. It's generally recorded and approximations, and the level of scrutiny that we have for the incidents and the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ is way higher. In other words, most of history would be what? Da'if or sahih? What do you guys think? It would be da'if. It would be what? Da'if. But it is accepted. But why are we so difficult and so harsh and so detailed oriented when it comes to the ahadith? Because our deen depends on it. Do you guys understand? Now, Because of this, they looked at the different narrations that are coming from the Prophet. If it's related to our aqidah and belief, there's no messing around there. It has to be sahih. If it's related to halal and haram, prayer and worship, it has to be sahih. But the ulama would like, if it's not related to rulings, and if it's not related to belief, but it's just an incident that happened, they will be a bit more relaxed. And this is what we have understood from the Salaf. They will be a bit more relaxed. So in other words, when it comes to studying Aqidah, Fiqh and Seerah, which one of those three are we a little bit more relaxed when it comes to authentication? Who can tell me? Seerah. Why? Because rulings do not depend on it. It's more of a story that is being told. This is generally, that being said, do we still scrutinize and distinguish the Sahih from the Da'if? We do. And as we are going through the story, I will be highlighting some of these things, inshallah ta'ala. That is just to give you an understanding of the mindset. And that the for example, the Seerah of Ibn Hisham, in it are some narrations that the chain of narration will not be the strongest, and others are really strong. And you can pick and choose, and some of the ulama have done this. Tayyib. Now, umuman, books, contemporary books that are really good. Let me mention a few, especially in the English language. So, The Sealed Nectar is a really good book. Rahiq al-Makhtum is a very good book, written by Saif al-Rahman al-Mubarak Fouri. However, it's a heavy book. A lot of references, and sometimes it's not an easy read. But I do recommend it. It actually won an award in the 70s. It's actually a 50-year-old book. It's not that new. It won an award, and it's highly regarded, and it's taught often. It's a really good book. That same author has another book called Rawdatul Anwar, where he wrote it in a way that is much easier read. And the English version of that is called When the Moon Split. When the Moon Split. And I highly recommend that one. It's a much easier read, inshallah ta'ala. There is also another one that's written by Mahdi, I believe Mahdi Rizqullah. It is called The Biography of the Prophet of Islam. It's two volumes. He did a really good job when it comes to verification and referencing. And it's two volumes. It's a very good read as well. Not too dissimilar with the Rahiq al-Makhtum. And there are other ones as well, inshallah ta'ala. There are also other ways to learn about the Prophet other than just the Seerah. There are books known as Shama'il. Shama'il are books that compiled the characteristics and the of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked. Right? How did he look? What did he wear? What did he eat? His character, his humility. They compiled these distinguishing characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you read that, you get a really good insight of who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. So one is telling you the story, the seerah A to Z, and one is telling you more about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's his characteristics, al-khuluqiyya wal-khalqiyya, the behaviors as well as how he looked sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tayyib. So that, inshallah ta'ala, covers some of the resources that you can utilize to learn the seerah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Let me ask you guys a few questions to keep you engaged. If you know the answer, please raise your hand. Number one, who can tell me why is it important to learn the seerah? Why? This is an easy one, man. I give you guys a softball. Why is it important to learn the seerah? Yalla. Naam, habibi. Tafaddal. Ismik al-Kareem awalan. I have a rule. If you're going to answer, I have to know your name. Ya akhi, what's your name? Arif. Why is it important to learn the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Learning about the seerah will allow us to follow his sunnah, which we have to do to not go astray. Jazakallahu khairan. So the seerah is a guide. What about something to do with hub and love? What did we say? Are we not meant to love the Prophet? Can we do that without knowing him? No, we can claim it, we can try it. But wallahi, the person that learns the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not the same. And I promise you all, my brothers and sisters, as you come to these classes, as you go through the journey, as you learn about the Prophet's childhood, and you learn about the Prophet's challenges and worries and moments of joy and moments of happiness, it will transform you. And that's the whole point. The seerah is what? It's transformative. Salatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Tayyib. Who can tell me the earliest collection of seerah that we have. The seerah of who? Musa ibn Uqba. Jazakumullah khair. Who can tell me, barakallahu fikum, the first source that we utilize for seerah? The Quran. And then the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ahadith. Hayakumullah. Tayyib. Inshallah ta'ala, let me now conclude, if you will, with an explanation of the program itself and what we're going to be doing, inshallah ta'ala, every Friday night. We split the seerah up, and for the next 7 weeks, 6 weeks, I should say, we will be talking about the Prophet's early childhood and journey to prophethood, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Next lesson will be about the Prophet's family, his mother, father, grandfather, early Mecca, the incident of his birth, his lineage, what was Quraysh like, what was Mecca like, to get you into the mindset of the Prophet when he becomes a Prophet, what society was he in? What was the kind of society he was told to change? So inshallah ta'ala, we will talk about that, and then we will start with his birth. The day he was born, how was it like? And what did his mother do? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's journey as a childhood, and who raised him? Who was Halima Sa'diyah to him? Right? The incident of the opening of his heart, the first time when he comes into contact with an angel as a 4 or 5 year old boy. When he loses his mother at the very ripe age of 6, loses his grandfather at 8, and then is taken in by his uncle Abu Talib. What was the Prophet like as a young man? Who named him Muhammad? And why was he named Muhammad? What happened to his father? All of that, inshallah ta'ala, to really help you understand who Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was, as we then go into his early adulthood, his travels with his uncle, his marriage to Khadija. Who was Khadija? What made her special? How old was he when they got married? How old were they both? And we will, inshallah ta'ala, learn more about Abu Talib until we get to the first time Allah blesses him and the Ummah with revelation. Iqra. That will be the end of this, if you will, session, these sessions, inshallah ta'ala, the next few sessions. And then we'll take a week break and we'll continue on. We'll continue on. Now he's a prophet. How did his people deal with him? What were the challenges that he met? We'll learn about Abu Bakr's Islam, Khadija's support, young Ali that lives with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how eager he was to become Muslim at the age of 11. The secret call, as they are in Mecca, only few Muslims, 5, 6, 7. Sa'd ibn Waqqas saying, I was the 8th Muslim, or the 7th Muslim ever in Mecca. And how they were looked at as a group that is strange. And how then the challenges kept on increasing until year after year, the group grew bigger and bigger until Allah tells him, now you have to go public. And he goes public with his da'wah. And then he gets all the challenges. All of a sudden, Quraysh has a huge problem with his message. And then the clashes, the abuse, the persecution, the first shaheed. The first shaheed of this ummah, a woman called Sumayya and her husband Ammar. Sumayya and Ammar. And why were they killed? Why were they killed? And the struggles of being a Muslim, hiding the fact that you pray. And then the first migration to Abyssinia. First, this was unknown. Unknown for people to leave their tribes to go to another tribe, because your tribe was safety. Your city was safety. But due to their iman, Mecca is not safe anymore. A small group travels all the way to Abyssinia to meet a Christian king who gives them refuge. And then the tensions after, the Prophet's whole tribe gets ostracized to the point where they have nothing to eat. All because they say, La ilaha illallah, until things get worse and worse and worse and more difficult. And the challenges, and the Prophet loses his wife Khadija at the 9th year, his uncle. And then the incident of Isra and Mi'raj happens, where he ascends all the way up to his hijrah. And then the great story of the hijrah, where there's a bounty on the Prophet's head. And then he needs to go to Medina. The deal he made with the Ansar, how they came to Mecca first to make a deal with him, saying, if you come to us, we'll protect you. And they asked the Prophet, the Ansar from Medina, asked the Prophet, if we give you our lives and protect you with our wealth and give you shelter, what do we get? And he says to them, you'll get Jannah. And then after a while, the Prophet sends a few companions first to Medina, and they start giving da'wah in Medina. And then the Prophet ﷺ joins them after the hijrah. Then they establish the first masjid. Then when they establish the first community, how did the Prophet deal with the refugee problem? When you had people that came from Mecca, they had nothing. And how did the Ansar accommodate them? How did they become brothers? The Ansar and the Muhajireen. And then the first time the Prophet has to meet his enemy in battle, the Battle of Badr. And then the Battle of Uhud, which is an invasion to the city. And on, until finally the Prophet goes back to Mecca as a conqueror with honor and walks in, removes the idols, tells Bilal to go on the Kaaba and call the Adhan. The same Bilal that was tortured in those streets. Allahu Akbar. The seerah is powerful, my brothers and sisters. So inshallah ta'ala, week after week, we'll go bit by bit. We'll reflect on it, derive lessons from it, and hopefully inshallah ta'ala, benefit from it as well. I'm going to conclude the lesson here. So that's just a glimpse of the plan. May Allah make it a blessed gathering. May Allah accept it from us. Spread the word. Tell more people to come to the Al-Bina' program. Come to the Aqidah class. Come to the Fiqh class. Come to the seerah class, inshallah ta'ala, every Friday. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us, bless this gathering, and make us among those that truly follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm going to take some questions, and then after that, inshallah ta'ala, what we'll do is we will conclude the session here. Tayyib. The first question is, how can you advise individuals who celebrate the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's birthday? Allahu Akbar. So, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to love him means a great deal. And the people that started the tradition, or the people that are involved in the tradition, to celebrate his birthday, often, if not all the time, it's coming from a place of love. Not a place of hatred against the Sunnah, but a place of love. However, our love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam must be controlled with our adherence to his sunnah. It is not enough that we just love him and then we do whatever we want to love him. No, expressing the love of the Prophet ﷺ means also trying to follow his sunnah. So, the celebrating of the Prophet's birthday, when we want to know its ruling and its hukum, we first have to ask ourselves, is this something that is legislated? Meaning, is it part of our deen? It's the first question, is this part of our deen? And to understand when something is part of your deen or not, you go to the sources, you go to the Quran, you go to the Sunnah, and you go to the Prophet himself and his companions. Can we ever claim to love the Prophet more than his companions? More than Abu Bakr, more than Umar, more than Aisha? We cannot claim that. None of them took the day he was born as a day of celebration. There's no report. They never discussed it. So, if you even look at the Sahaba, you can't find it. You can't find any mention or significance that they attribute to the mawlid itself. Where they gather, where they read. No, they have none of that. Then on top of that, if you look at the Salaf, the four Imams, perhaps you can find something that Abu Hanifa said about the mawlid, but sadly we cannot find anything. It never crossed his mind. It was not something that was done during the time of Abu Hanifa. Maybe Imam Malik, same thing. Imam Malik never said yay or nay. He never said yes or no regarding the Mawlid because it was something that was not known. Same time, Imam Shafi, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Imam al-Bukhari, none of them had anything to say about the Mawlid because it was not known. Can we truly say that they did not love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We cannot say that. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. So, there is a statement of Imam Malik, مَا لَمْ يَكُنْ يَوْمَئِذٍ دِينًا لَمْ يَكُنْ الْيَوْمَ دِينًا. Something that was not part of the deen then will not be part of the deen today. طيب. Now, then the question we have to ask ourselves is, how did Mawlid come to be? And the history of the Mawlid is known. It was started by the Fatimids at first. And it was a day that they said, we're going to create festivals. And they created a number of festivals. And one of them was, we're going to create a festival on the day the Prophet was born. And they did it. And they would come and they would eat and they would be lavish and there would be events and there would be something that they do. Something that they did was khair, not the Fatimids, but just generally. And something was not khair. In any case, that tradition started. And over time, it continued on and continued on. Then what happened was, some of the ulama looked at it and said, "Yani, it's okay, it's fine." But others said, "No, it's not fine." And some looked at the intention and what's being done. And others looked at the concept. Someone said, "Well, the intention is to remember the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tayyib, okay. And the intention is to do khayr, read the seerah, read some poetry that praises the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." But even if what's happening during it is okay, the concept becomes problematic, especially when you have huge gatherings that rival the Eid, which happens in some countries. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we have only two festivals in Islam, the two Eids. So there's a myriad of issues when it comes to this. So the advice to people that celebrate the Mawlid is celebrate the Prophet's life every day. Celebrate the Prophet's life every day. Follow his sunnah, read his seerah, praise him, say salat upon him all the time. Don't specify one day. The Prophet is more worth than one day. Who are we when we just remember him one day in the year? In fact, we should remember him more than this. Now, then the other thing we need to look at is there are different levels. So as a concept, it's not part of our deen. It's not part of our deen. But then we can look at the actual mawlids themselves, and some are far worse than others. Some are far worse than others. We cannot compare. Some people that came together, read a bit of seerah, ate some food, to people that are committing acts that can be considered shirk when they are talking about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Are those two the same? They're not the same. So, although as a concept, there is no evidence for it, although we understand it's coming from a place of love, so this is very important, we understand it's coming from a place of love, but we also understand there is no place for it in our deen, because if it was, we would have found the sources for it. We also appreciate that it was started randomly by the Fatimid Empire for, to be honest, reasons that were not all that good. And then it became something to keep the people busy with. Some of the ulama tried to find some evidences for it, to allow it with certain conditions. But we say, وَكُلُّ خَيْرٍ فِي اتِّبَاعِ مَنْ سَلَفٍ وَكُلُّ خَيْرٍ فِي اتِّبَاعِ مَنْ سَلَفٍ All khayr is in following the righteous generations. We do not need to commemorate the Prophet's birth when we commemorate and remember him every single day of the year. Is that clear, everyone? Now, as it relates to the people that celebrate, show them rahmah, show them mercy. Do not be like this all the time. Understand that a lot of them are just following traditions that they grew up in. And if you can correct them and advise them in a gentle way, that is the sunnah. That is the sunnah. Correct them and also empathize. Understand where they're coming from. Yes, we love the Prophet just like you love the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But don't force me to express my love in the way you tell me to, especially when I have no evidence for it. Fahimtum? When it comes to correcting, we use rahmah. But when it comes to legislation and deen, the deen is clear. The deen is clear. Another question is asking, can you ask those brothers sitting on chairs? Oh, okay. to move what? Towards the back of the room so they're not blocking those sitting behind them. I should have seen this before. I do apologize. Brothers, inshallah, if you're sitting on chairs in the future, go a little bit towards the back because some people feel that you are blocking them. Labas. What is the name of the earliest biography written of the Prophet ﷺ? This is known as the Seerah of Musa ibn Uqba or the Maghazi of Musa ibn Uqba. You can find it inshallah ta'ala. Tayyib, we can take maybe two or three more questions from the brothers that are here. I will also say for the sisters, inshallah ta'ala, if you follow the announcements and our social media, we will be announcing a special Q&A session for the Al Bina sisters that come to the program that we will, inshallah ta'ala, do, because we do understand that accessibility is something that is important to the instructors. Brothers, are there any questions before we conclude, inshallah ta'ala? Naam, tafaddal akhi. What's your name, akhi? Abdul? Hafiz. Allahu Akbar. Hafizak Allah, Habibi. Naam. Does it make sense to celebrate someone who's no more? To be honest, we celebrate, the word celebrate means to hold an, if you mean holding an event to express joy, I mean right now, I believe we are expressing joy and learning about the Prophet ﷺ. It happens to be on Rabi'ul Awwal, that was not planned, like I said, but alhamdulillah. But akhi, no, we should always express joy when it comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The birthday of someone who's no more. Yes, that's one interesting way of putting it. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh Abdul Hafid. Barakallah feekum. But like I mentioned, that we do not add anything into the deen, that there's no need. And we do not need to be told to appreciate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day in the year when we do it, when we should be doing it all the time and every time. Hayakumullah. Is there any more questions from the brothers? If not, we conclude here. And I'll see you all next Friday. But I hope to see you all attend the Aqeedah and the Fiqh class as well, as it is important that you are getting a holistic learning of the deen. But inshallah ta'ala, I definitely want to see you all next Friday and bring even more people as we learn and, yes, celebrate the life of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam through learning his journey. Na'am akhi. Tafadhal habibi. Path, right? A path that you walk on. That would be a definition. Barakallah feekum. Hayakallah. If there are any more questions, we'll conclude here. And jazakumullah khair for attending. Jazakumullah khair for coming to the masjid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it all from us. Hada wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.